story for you. Now, it wasn't unusual for it to rain in Bethlehem, but late one fall, it just kept raining and raining and raining. It rained from Tuesday all the way through Sunday. It was a muddy mess outside. At least 2 inches of water covered every level place, and in some places it was much more than that. As more and more people were displaced by the higher areas of the city, it became more and more crowded. Some people's houses were completely underwater. At first, it was kind of an adventure, but as the rain continued to fall day after day, people were becoming increasingly irritated. Levi's home was one of the higher areas of the city, and his family gladly welcomed any who wanted a dry place to land. At first, they filled the house with people and the barn with their animals. Then they moved the animals out into the muddy pasture in order for the barn to house more people. Do you know what Benjamin said when they led him out of his cozy spot in the barn? Of course, what else would a donkey say? Levi, Leah, and David all felt really bad about letting the animals out in the field, but they knew it was more important to take care of the people. Some of them had little babies to take care of, as well as some very old grandmas and grandpas. Feeding everyone was also a problem. It was hard to keep a fire going because so much of the wood supply was wet and there was a downdraft because of the rain. Fortunately, all the crops had just been harvested, so there was a rich supply of fresh fruits and vegetables. It was damp, chilly, crowded, boring, and everyone grew tired of eating fruits and vegetables. Levi, Leah, and David were kept busy running back and forth trying to help everyone they could. The people in the barn started to complain. They thought it was their turn to sleep in the house, and the people in the house thought they should have some mutton or at least a little chicken in their soup. Everywhere they went, all Levi's family heard were complaints. "Why did we let all these people come here?" asked David. "I believe the Lord would have us to help them," said Levi. "Remember the time the Good Samaritan helped me after those thieves robbed and beat me?" "Yes, Papa, but I'm so tired, and I've done so much for everyone, and no one appreciates any of it," said David. "It's not about being appreciated," said Leah. "It's about helping others survive." "No one else in our neighborhood has taken in so many people as we have," said David. "And who do you think we should turn away?" asked Leah. "The family with 5 small children, or the elderly couple we put up in the loft?" "Well, the elders are the best behaved of them all," said David. "Let's kick out the family of 7. "David," said Leah. "I'm just kidding, Mom. Don't have a bird." "We do need to do something to help with the morale," said Leah. "Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us think of things for everyone to do." After praying, they had a whole bunch of ideas. David got all the kids outside in the rain to play soccer in the mud. Some of the adults joined in too. Levi organized the men to go out into small groups to see what the neighbors needed help with. They ended up bailing out buildings, bracing sagging rafters, repairing roofs, and getting animals unstuck from the mud. Meanwhile, Leah organized the women to help create new recipes for soup and get ready to clean all the kids and men up once they were done playing and working. In the evening, as everyone came in from outside, they had to stand directly under one of the downspouts that worked perfectly as a shower. Then they were ushered into a small area to dry and put clean clothes. After everyone was safe inside the barn, they gathered around a large community pot where the ladies had prepared their special soup. It smelled delicious. "Before we eat," said Levi, "we're going to sing." There was some grumbling through the crowd, and one fellow said, "Let's just eat. I'm starving." There was a rumbling of agreement when out of the loft came the most beautiful baritone voice singing out loud and clear, a worship song every child of Abraham knew by heart. It was the old man's voice singing out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name." His wife joined in on the second verse in perfect harmony, and by the time they got to the chorus, everyone in the barn was singing. A holy presence enveloped the crowd as they sang song after song. Suddenly, the old man picked up the pace with a rousing upbeat song, and some in the crowd broke out their guitars and tambourines. The children jumped up and started dancing, followed by many of the adults. Everyone was laughing and having a wonderful time. Then someone yelled out, "Hey, everybody, it stopped raining." Shouts of hallelujah and praise rang out loud and clear. "Let's eat," shouted Leah. "Oh, do we have to?" said the same fellow who complained about singing first. "I was having so much fun." Everyone laughed, then lined up with bowl in hand. "Please let there be enough," prayed Leah under her breath. And she scooped out bowlful after bowlful after bowlful. After everyone was fed, there was still plenty left over. Most of the people left the next day to begin cleaning up their properties, but a few had to stay a little while longer until the flooding left their area. By midweek, everyone was gone, and it felt really strange to Levi and his family. "I hate to say it," said David, "but I miss all those people." Benjamin didn't miss anybody. He was happy to be back in his clean, dry, warm stall. But the next Sunday, all those people and a few more started trickling back onto Levi's property until the barn was packed once again. Ladies were carrying baskets of food to put into the community pot, and the musicians had their instruments in hand. From that Sunday on until Israel was overrun by the Romans, they gathered together for worship, dancing, and dinner, becoming the best of friends and neighbors. Every time it rained, they told the story of how their gathering got started and thanked God for turning a tragedy into a blessing. Amen. Today's faith fact, God wants me to obey. God wants me to obey. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourselves an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out." Father, these are haunting words. Because the earth was full of violence and corruption then, kind of reminds us of now. And Lord, we see what effect it has on you, a very loving and tender God. So we pray for these days of ours, that, Lord, you will help there to be a light that shines so bright that the darkness will flee, that there will be revival here, that we will turn from our wicked ways and turn to you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. We studied the creation account last week, or the week before. And when God created the earth, its creatures, and our ancestors, it was all good. In fact, God concluded it was very good. But the devil messed with Adam and Eve, making them think they could do better than obeying God. From that mistake, it was all downhill. There were a few people who sought God and tried to obey, but most did not. It got so bad that God absolutely regretted that he had made people at all. The people were supposed to love one another, but they chose rather to hate. They were supposed to help, but they chose rather to hurt. Husbands were to love their wives and vice versa. They were to care for their children. But abuse began, and everybody fought only for themselves. It wasn't just that they were bad. They were continually getting worse. Does that remind you of another time in our history? Continually getting worse. All the blessings God gave were being used selfishly and to do harm to others. Oh, the devil must have laughed himself silly. All of his tricks were working big time. Pain and misery were the order of the day. Brothers and sisters are supposed to love one another, but instead they inflicted harm and abuse. Neighbors, even strangers, are supposed to love and help where help is needed. But that was not the order of the day. We're supposed to enjoy sharing, caring, giving, loving, and hate anger, violence, and the like. Imagine if you rescued several pets and wanting to give them a good home, but once you got them home, they did nothing but bite at each other, try to kill one another, growl and snarl. You'd have to do something for their safety and for your own sanity. And that's exactly where we put the Lord. He created us to have fellowship with Him, but we gave Him nothing but misery the whole time. And so God concluded there's only one answer. We've got to push the reset. Got to destroy what has been created and start over again. But how and where do we start? He found a man, a family, that wasn't violent, selfish, or immoral. God found a fellow who loved his wife and kids who were obedient and respectful. That man's name was Noah. He said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. He said, yes, sir. What's an ark? Well, it's a really, really, really big boat. How big? Oh, you got to be kidding me. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. The Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded. The experts tell me that it took Noah between 50 and 75 years to build that ark. That's longer than most of our careers would ever last in our lifetime. 50 and 75. He was probably a fairly wealthy guy because the materials alone would be staggering to build something that large. Maybe he had enough money to hire a crew to help. Maybe he hired Storm's handyman service to help out. There must have been some expertise to it all. Never had rain before? Never had seen a boat that big before? And here's this man that was tender-hearted enough to say, okay, God, it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't seem like that's the thing to do. You know, a lot of people are going to make fun of me in this thing. But certainly he wanted to survive. He wanted to save the lives of his wife, sons, and their wives. But his greatest motivation was he just wanted to obey the Lord. God said to do it, and he said, okay. He was a righteous man. That's why God chose him. Righteous people enjoy obeying God. God wants me to obey. God wants you to obey. Now, if we're going to obey Him, what has to happen first? Yeah, we got to know what He wants us to do. We've got to hear from Him. It's not natural to hear God's voice. It's supernatural. And you and I need to learn how to listen to the voice of God. So, what's the main way that we hear from God?